Just a drop of water in an endless sea.
Welcome to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3 The Buzz. Jamie Kyle, Arnold Tarpley, Scott Webb. There is an explanation behind that music. I was pre-warned before it played. Normally we have the 80s rock, but it's a little bit of something that we'll talk about in a second. That happened
I just
at Las
thought
Vegas.
It was appropriate. I mean, there's...
It was good. If my father-in-law's listening, he would really love that because, you know, he is a huge fan of that type of music. Every time I go over there, that's playing usually on the radio. So it's pretty good. Arnold, that's probably, you know, when you were growing up. That
brings back memories.
That's date night for Arnold.
Yeah,
buddy. Watch out.
And it's totally appropriate for the past race.
Exactly. Which,
if you paid attention at all this Sunday, that song fit right in.
It did, big time. All right, so we're getting into it. Let's just go right into it. Race recap brought to you by Dale's Heating and Air. If you need anything heating and air-wise, going to get hot, already getting hot. Make sure you call Dale's Heating and Air.
Yeah, we want this hour to get over quick. It's way too nice to be in this studio.
No kidding. So it's going to get daylight longer, too, which will mean better weather. Speaking of weather, weatherman's dream this Sunday at Las Vegas. I don't think that I've ever seen what I saw on Sunday. When you think about Vegas, you think about desert, you think about no rain. Well, they got rain. You think about wind, I guess. I mean, but not 50 to 60 mile an hour wind. That was blowing things everywhere. So you had rain, wind. No, you didn't have any hail, but you did have a sandstorm. So there's the dust in the wind.
Everything but snow this weekend.
And that would have probably
Sunday during the race. I mean, literally during the race, you saw every one of those phenomenons.
Yeah, and phenomenons. That's really good, Scott.
Well,
phenomenons.
Yeah.
Phenomenon.
Yeah, they talk about the sand at Darlington and how it weathers the track and everything, but even at Darlington, it don't weather the track during the race.
I guess Vegas got weathered for
sure. I mean,
sure.
There were literally times during the race where you could see tire tracks in the turns because there was so much dust and debris on the track. It was unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. Been watching NASCAR forever.
And that, yeah, especially at Vegas. So a lot of drama, a lot of, you know, that's kind of the drama of the day was, you know, all the stuff that happened as far as weather goes. But, you know, guys, overall, great racing really with this new package on that track. I was kind of surprised to see, you know, of course, at the end where somebody was able to run down the leader who was in clean air, which was kind of refreshing, I would say. But, you know, just overall, the couple of things that we've seen on the mile and a half on tracks now is the fact of the few cautions that they've been having. This is a lot of green flag racing with not, the conditions as far as the way that the track is, the cars are, and stuff like that, not handling well. I'm surprised to see so few cautions.
Well, you've got great drivers. They've got a good, solid product. It puts them back in their hands where they have control over what they're doing, which is what they've been begging for years. And it's just making for great racing. And instead of being bunched up and packed so much where they hammer on each other, they're actually getting separated.
Right.
But they can still, as you said, run down the leader.
But if you have a good enough car, you can move your way through the field. I didn't have any problem with it at all. I thought the racing was terrific. You know, there was stretches where Jimmy Johnson looked like he was the best car on the track. But then there was other times where other guys were able to move through the field. We saw a lot of movement. And, you know, it's the difference between this and Atlanta, obviously, was the track itself. It didn't quite wear the tires down as much. So you didn't have as much tire wear issues, so they were able to do some things. They were able to stay out longer, more full fuel runs than they did at Atlanta. Atlanta, they were 40 laps, and they could have ran 50 laps at Atlanta and fuel-wise, but tires didn't hold out that long. So, but other than that, I thought the race was terrific. I thought it had a lot of intrigue, we saw some pit strategy. We saw, you know, we saw a rookie we're going to talk about. A couple rookies had a pretty good day until one got wrecked out by a guy that can't stay in a race right now. We'll get to him later in the show, too. But, you know, overall, you know, for a mile and a half track, and again, this has been the issue with me for the past few years in NASCAR is that mile and a half tracks have a tendency to be extremely boring, and I didn't think there was anything boring at all. The weather just contributed to the madness and made for a great day of racing.
And that's what we've been looking for, is being able to race up front with everybody being able to pass, do what they need to do. If they had the car, they could go to the front and not have to worry about whether I'm going to get there and stall out. I can actually pull out and pass the leader.
It was big in Joey Logano's comments after practice. I think it was Friday, or maybe it was Saturday after final practice. He did say it was kind of really fun, the fact that you could pull up on somebody and you could pass them during practice. And he said he's never seen that before. And actually talked about how the closing speed, you know, was a lot different and something he had to get used to as far as doing that. But when you think about these two races that have went with very few cautions, you think about really the pit crew and the crew chief really have to earn their money early in the season, because when you're making decisions on the fly, such as, you know, you've got to come down and you don't have time to take your time. Maybe you don't take your time during cautions either, but you kind of know where you're going to be because everybody's coming in at the same time. You've got to pick when you're going to come in, how you're going to do it, if it's going to be two tires or four. You know, and there's a lot of decisions. So, and you saw that Sunday. You saw it last Sunday with pit strategy making a big difference in the race.
The performance of the pit crews is at premium when you're running green flag pit stops. And you run multiple ones, and you have a crew that screws up a time or two, you're way behind the eight ball on that.
Well, all you got to do, you watch the broadcast. Two things from the broadcast that really pointed this out. Number one, they always show green flag, they show a two-lap time sequence where how long it takes the driver to get on the pit road and then to get back off pit road. And those two laps during that time, they show, and you can see really who's doing a good job of getting off pit road. Speeding penalties were an issue. We had some issues there. And then, you know, that shows you, you know, how well the pit, the driver, and that whole process goes. And when you have long green flag runs, you have you see how the drivers handle that. And see who gave themselves the most made up the most time on pit road. The other thing too was, you know, there has to be some patience involved. You saw Austin Dillon who nearly, I thought he was going to come out of the car. He was so mad at everybody for us, you know, and he stayed frustrated. Then he a little bit later commits a speeding penalty because mm-hmm. he's trying to do some. So it really plays a role. And again, it's more in the driver's. You know, in the driver's hands, in the pit crew's hands, we're seeing that mean more at the start of this season than we've seen in a long time. That sounded like a me rambling quite a bit, but I hope I got my point across.
That was good. Better than your TSSAA. So
no, don't get please don't give me.
No.
This is only a 1 hour show.
Exactly. All right. So I do have a conspiracy theory. I think Coca-Cola is trying to get some extra advertising in by these caution flags, because if you did notice that the one caution flag that was, you know, thrown, and the Dasani water bottle was shown on the track clearly to where you could read the label, which takes some excellent camera work to get that down there. But that is produced by Coca-Cola.
Is Carl Edwards a Coke driver?
No, he's not. I don't
I'm
think.
I'm just wondering if he threw that out the window himself. Not that he's not afraid to sponsor somebody.
And you knew it was a driver's because Jeff Gordon pointed out it had the straw on the top of it. So you knew it was a driver who threw it out, probably with an ill-handling race car that wanted to get into the pit area so he could get it fixed. So that, I think that's a conspiracy. It's just NASCAR, again, trying to get something out there. All right, let's talk about the winner. We've talked about the race, stuff like that. Big time, you know, Kyle Busch had a pretty good lead on it. Thought he had a loose wheel or something going on, or maybe a tire going down. He'd really been kind of strong. You went out there and you thought, just like you said earlier, that Jimmy Johnson was going to win. You kind of thought the same thing about Kyle Busch, that he would pull out because he had the clean air and nobody would be able to get him. Seemed as if, you know, Joey Logano and Brad Keselowski were running him down, and then it kind of stalled. And then you could see, you know, Brad had a faster car.
Did it stall because Keselowski was faster than Logano and he was having a little difficulty getting around him? Because once he got around Logano,
he was gone.
That thing, it didn't take him long to dispatch Busch up front. So, I mean, that contributed to some of it. But, I mean, those Penske cars were fast. And Keselowski's won there before. You know, he won there 2 years ago when Junior ran out of gas on the backstretch and won that race. So, you know, he's had some history with that track. And as we've seen the last couple weeks, it's not necessarily who has the most dominant car throughout the day. It's who's running the best at the end. It's getting yourself to the finish. As we saw last weekend, you know, we saw Jimmy Johnson do his thing. And then this week, you know, we get Brad Keselowski doing his thing at the end of the race. And it's about being in position when it's time to win a race. And Keselowski put himself in position.
It kind of goes back to pit strategy, too, because you think about it, they were running on fumes. They didn't mention much about that.
And when we hear the interview in just a second, Brad talks a little bit about gas and where they were and fuel in terms of you know, when they made that last stop, what they were even thinking there.
Yeah. So, you got anything, Arnold, on that? All right, yeah, it's kind of hard to believe, but it's been 34 races since Brad Keselowski has won, which probably takes him back to
California last year.
Yeah, when he got that race. So, first time in 34 races he's been to Victory Lane. It's his first win of the year. Now qualified for the chase. So let's hear from Bad Brad Keselowski.
The gambles all paid off in Las Vegas for Brad Keselowski, winning here for the second time in 3 years. What's going through your mind when you're seeing that 18 getting bigger and bigger out the front windshield?
Yeah, you know, this rules package, I love it. It's awesome. The cars, you can be really fast mints at the start of the run or really fast at the end of the run, and we had awesome speed at the end of every run. It seemed like we just never could put it all together with the way the cautions kept falling, but at the end we got that big long run and couldn't get going for the first few laps, and thought for sure the 48 and a couple of those were going to drive by me. Then it finally started to take off with about 25 to go. I was able to get to second, and then as soon as I got to the 18, I saw his card falling off of my hat, and gosh, thank you so much. Oh, it's just such a good feeling to get back at Victory Lane. It's been way too long, and I'm thrilled to be here, Vince. I really am.
How nervous were you when you pitted for that last time and you knew you were about 8 laps short on fuel?
Oh, yeah. I didn't figure any way we'd make it, but it kept getting those yellows. Like there was a couple of wrecks, and we were able to save plenty of fuel on those. But what a day. I'm beat. I put everything I had into driving this car, and I'm just so thrilled to be back in Victory Lane with the Miller Lite Ford and everybody at Team Penske. And gosh, I just wish my daughter was here for this, but it's a long West Coast swing. I can't wait to get home and see her, but this is amazing. Thanks to everybody here at Team Penske. And we weren't where we wanted to be last week, but they worked on the cars, came out with some better stuff, and boy, did it pay off. So, as my boss would say, effort equals results.
I like that. Effort equals results. It sounds like you put a lot of effort into it, and I think a lot of the drivers now that you hear getting out of these cars sound like Brad Keselowski because they're having to muscle the things around.
I mean, they're tired. You could look. I mean, if you saw that interview, I mean, he looked whipped. Yeah. I mean, these guys were out. They had a handful for 4 hours, and it was a real struggle for them. And you know, that's for us fans. That's what we want to see. We want to see them guys have a handful, make them work. I don't want it on cruise control. I don't want, we're not just out there making laps. I want to see it be a struggle, and it was a struggle this week.
One of the more interesting things is later on they do the XM radio thing, and to do the interview, Claire wound up sitting down behind the podium with him because he was so tired he had to sit down for that interview.
Yeah, Claire is something else. We see her up at Bristol a lot. She's got that phone going around in everybody's face. So she's very good. All right, so we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about who was hot, who was not, and then we've got a couple of drivers, actually, who was not. So we'll talk about that, and then we'll get into some news and notes, and we'll go on from there. You're listening to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3
The Buzz.
MLS 2239. What would you do with all that cash? Listen up, y'all. Ben Phillips here, Home Rate Mortgage, 805-9100. $1,200. That's how much we just put back in a Saudi Daisy family's pocket per month. All they did was pick up the phone. 805-9100. That's 805-9100. Get that quick quote now. 805-9100. HomeRateMortgage.com.
Y'all step back to 1864 and relive the South's finest hour. Witness a moving performance and dig into the greatest Southern recipes direct from the Confederate White House. Loads of fun food and unfiltered Southern history. The Button Willow Civil War Dinner Theater is just minutes from Chattanooga. Y'all got a call for reservations, 658-7478. We're straightening out Yankees one at a time.
Since 1996, Dale's Heating and Air has been known for our trusted dependability with 24-hour service, trusted integrity to provide the right system at the right price. Trusted technicians who are always background checked, drug tested, and trusted. 100% complete satisfaction. Take advantage of our $50 savings on any service or repair or 60-month special financing. Available now. For service you can trust, just call Dale's. 236-4600 or go to justcalldales.com.
Subject to credit approval. Ask for details.
MLS 2239.
Do you want to achieve the American dream in 2016? Listen up, y'all. I'm Ben Phillips with Home Rate Mortgage, 805-9100. We just helped a police officer purchase his first home in East Brainerd. Now he's grilling and chilling on his back deck. The American dream. You could achieve it with no money down options. Why wouldn't you call? 805-9100, HomeRateMortgage.com.
Welcome back to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3 The Buzz. Jason Hildebrand has joined us, Arnold Tarpley Cedar, and Scott Webb. Jason walked in just in time to say,
The Buzz.
The Buzz. So he got it taken care of for us. All right, been talking about Las Vegas. Going to break that down a little more. Come up with something new this week. Who's hot? Who's not? And I think we kind of added another who's not into that. But let's talk about who's hot. Can't talk enough about Ryan Blaney, guys. Sixth place finish at Vegas, Daytona, you know, is one thing, I think, when you think about, you know, somebody finishing up front. You saw Trevor Bayne win several years ago in the Wood Brothers car, but to be consistent, three good races in a row at two pretty difficult tracks, including Daytona, and then to be sixth in, or I think he's in the top 10, top 12 in the point standings.
I don't give the standings away yet. They can stay tuned for the Home Rate Mortgage Chase rankings in here in just a few minutes.
That's so many things here. But anyway, to have a Wood Brothers car, and now they're teamed up with Penske, and I think that's going to make a big deal and running a full schedule. But, guys, this guy has got some talent.
He's very good. He's with a good race team. Wood Brothers' race team has been good for years. Running the full schedule, and they've got Penske helping them out on the technical side. They're going to be good. And everybody was concerned about them not getting one of the charters. That's a non-factor. He's going to be in every race easily.
Yeah, because the car is just too fast, and he's too good of a driver. I mean, yeah. they you know, that partnership that with Penske is really paying dividends, and that organization didn't need a whole lot of help, because anytime they showed up at a track, they were going to be pretty good anyway. And now that they're getting some additional support, he's getting the benefit of running all the races this year. He's going to be a real threat, not only to win Rookie of the Year, but he's going to make a bid to be one of those cars in the chase at the end.
And I'll tell you what, guys, you know, I really thought a lot about Blaney, because I sit back and look at him when he was driving the discount tire car in the Xfinity Series. I mean, you know, sometimes I'd see that car out front and think and swear to myself that's Brad Keselowski, but right. it's Blaney. And the kid can drive. The kid's going to be very good in Sprint Cup, I think.
It makes you wonder, because his dad never was, you know, that great. Was probably a pretty good driver, but never gotten good stuff. And it seems like that, you know, now Ryan's got some decent stuff underneath that he's running. He's doing really well, but ton of talent. And it's good to see somebody come up now that you know could be a player in the future. And
right,
the next
and both of the rookies that are, you know, the headline rookies for the year had good days. You know, Chase Elliott just happened to be in the wrong spot at the wrong time. They kind of rebounded from where they, you know, from Daytona and all that. That was just bad luck. Now, he blamed himself in the post-race interview, saying he could have done more to got out of Kenseth's way, but when somebody's spinning that close in front of you, I mean, I don't know how what you could do to really get out of the way. But he had a good day, and I'm not really concerned about where they are and where they're going. I think he'll have some races where they're going to be extremely competitive and threat to win races.
The interesting thing about that incident was Kenseth can't explain why he lost it.
You know,
you look at the position of the cars around him, I kind of understand, but he was, after the interview, he was at a loss. Why?
I'm not going to play host of the show here, but if we want to transition to somebody who's not hot.
Let me do that real quick.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about who's not hot.
What a great idea, Jamie. Kenseth in the 20 car It would definitely fall in this category, sitting 22nd in the points. I'll mention him in the points because he's not going to get mentioned in later on tonight. But it's been a struggle, and I don't know if what's going on, if it's you know the reaction from last year or trying too hard or just you know Gordon kind of had a similar type start last year at the beginning of the year. Obviously, Kenseth will probably work itself out, but. What can go wrong has gone wrong with this team right now.
Yeah, it reminded me, like you said, you touched on right there, Scott, Gordon's last season, the first few races of the year. But it reminds me also of a few years ago when Carl Edwards couldn't even get a finish in Daytona. Had wrecked about five cars down there. His 2013 season started tumultuously.
Yeah, his first season with Gibbs.
And, it turned out okay, but Kenseth's got a lot of work to do at this point. And, you go from last week, the black flag incident in Atlanta, and then him wrecking out there and then taking out Elliott last week. Just really, really not a hot driver. Right? Very cold.
You know, I think a lot of it has to do, and I mean, you know, of course you've got skill, you've got all the stuff that you need to be successful, and then you have this thing called bad luck that can kind of stick with you, and it takes a little while to get out. I almost think because we know Matt Kenseth can drive, he's a championship driver, we know he can win races, he can get hot real quick and he can win a bunch of races and be competitive. I think it's just now they've got a good run of bad luck going, and I think that's what's, you know, taking a toll on their team. But the big thing is going to be to see how he can rebound. I mean, it's not like you get to go back to the shop and hang out for a while and have some meetings and fix it. They stay out on the West Coast, they've got to fix it out there.
Well, I mean, yeah, at some point they'll get it turned around. He's too good. They have too good of equipment. But, you know, it's sometimes, it's like a hitter in baseball. Sometimes the swing looks good. Technically everything is sound. You know, he's not having any problem seeing the ball. Sometimes you're hitting the ball hard. You're just hitting it right at people. Well, I think that's kind of the same thing that's happening right now. They can't kind of, you know, they're having, you had the pit road issue last week, mm-hmm. which was, I mean, it's a gray area. The guy probably, I mean, they broke a rule. But it was one of those things where the mistake was not just coming on down and taking your lumps and just being a lap down.
And fighting your battle
and
later.
And fighting your battle later. You know, the wrecking stuff, you know, the Daytona, he's leading with 500 yards to go and ends up 14th. This week he just, you know, spins out. You know, sometimes it's just you just get in a funk and it's hard to get out. But, you just got to show up and keep working. And eventually that team will work itself out.
One of the things that about this week was you looked at Truex was just on the outside. Blaney was right on his back bumper. A little bit of wind catch you just wrong in that situation, and you're gone. You know, that's probably as close to what happened in that situation. Daytona, he tried to win the race by blocking the guy that was coming, and it missed out on it. Last week, he was fast. He just got into trouble with the rules. He's been fast. It's just a question that he's not getting the results.
Well, the one wrong thing you mentioned there, Arnold, was a little bit of wind. There was more than a little bit of wind there, I can tell you that. So,
blustery? Would that be a good word?
You could say hurricane force or something like that. All right, who else is not? Denny Hamlin started ninth and coming off the big win at Daytona. Really didn't do that well at Atlanta and then dropped back to 19th. Pretty much didn't move up the rest of the day. You got two teammates there that are trying to, up front at Daytona. And then, I guess Hamlin comes out on the better end of that at Daytona. But then after that, not very good, not very consistent. He even tweeted out, he said, what a miserable day, and we learned together. And the thing is, and I keep pointing to this West Coast swing, they don't go back. They stay out. They have cars that are brought out and stuff like that. It's hard to get together when you're out away from what you're familiar with and try to build something and get it going forward.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, you have one shot. I mean, very good at Daytona. We all knew the Gibbs cars were good at Daytona, but other than that, it's just been, what would you say, Webb, just...
I mean, it's what he's been. I mean, what has he finished, 19th the last 2 weeks?
Now, he's proven that he can win a restrictor plate race.
And he's kind of... Kind of reminds me of Casey Kane, because when Kane gets hot, man, it's like, man, it can be like white hot.
We hadn't seen that in a while.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. When it gets cold, it can get ice cold.
The number
too.
Nine Dodge, maybe the last time.
Yeah. My thing with Hamlin, though, is if it's not Richmond, if it's not a super speedway, he's really not that great.
Yeah. Well, and staying healthy has been an issue for him over the past couple of years. So, I'd be interested to see what a full, fledged year of work looks like for him. But, like you said, super speedways, he seemed to get those figured out He just can't get the mile and a half programs, and the short tracks, he's pretty decent.
Yeah, and I want to add another driver to the list of who's hot, and you talked about Blaney. But one guy that's really flying under the radar right now is bringing a lot of pride back to the number. But number three of Dylan, you know, he's finished 9th, 11th, and 5th
this
year.
There's a lot of Earnhardt fans out there.
So,
Jason, it's that organization, maybe, are they starting to turn a corner maybe?
I think so. I mean, I think they've lacked some confidence for a while. You know, for a few years, it's only been Ryan Newman. You know, for a couple of years anyhow. And I think they are getting some confidence. I think they're turning some things around down at Childers.
That's it. I mean, you've seen a lot more. They all seem a lot more sporty anyway. I mean, I think after Kevin Harvick left, you kind of lost that driver, and they've been trying to find that driver that's the lead of the team.
But is it also part of the parity in NASCAR? Now, you talk about three different teams with three different wins. I mean, three wins and, you know, for three different teams. You know, is it more of a parity thing there? You're seeing more competitiveness from all the teams, not just a couple of Hendrick or Gibbs out there.
Now, that's a professional radio guy right there. Did you see how he just led right into that? That's perfect, because I had that on the list there. Even better.
No,
I don't know what you're going to say.
Wow.
The thing of it is, the change in the cars this year makes a difference in how drivers drive the cars. And drivers that like looser cars are going to love this situation a whole lot more than what they've had in the past. And that might be playing into some of them's hands. I know Junior likes this setup a whole lot better than he did some of the others.
Well, and speaking of parity, let's throw Daytona out, because it's kind of a crapshoot. And let's look at Atlanta, and let's look at, you know, at Vegas. You've got two similar tracks, but two different racing services, two different types of, you know, the tire and stuff like that was used. Of course, a new tire was brought in this past week to run. But to still have, you know, the Fords and a Chevrolet, you know, winning and stuff like that, and then having a Toyota win Daytona, and you could say Toyota dominated Daytona, you know, with four or five of the top six or whatever, you know, was Toyota's. I don't think NASCAR is going to complain about the parity. I'd be interested to see over the next 3 or 4 weeks if that continues, or if you have somebody like Harvick, since we're going to, you know, Harvick Motor Speedway, if you see something like that happen where somebody gets on a roll and takes off.
I think it's good for the sport, to be honest with you. I think you keep mixing it up. You know, you don't have one guy out there winning four and five races in a row like we've seen in the past. I think it's really good. I think it's going to be interesting. I think it'll be an interesting season with, you know, maybe we do see more drivers than spots for the chase this year.
Yeah, that
could
be.
If this trend keeps going.
Yeah. Other news, Ty Dillon will pilot the 14 Bass Pro Shop. So, just like Scott said last week, every time that Tony Stewart's car is sponsored by Bass Pro Shop, expect to see Ty Dillon. And then, he didn't really give a timetable on when he's going to come back. He's not even started physical therapy yet, is what he said in the interview.
Yeah, I don't, you know, to me, it looks like he's still, at least he's at the track. He's been the track the last couple weeks. That's a positive sign, but, you know, at his age, you want to make sure that you're completely healthy before you get back into a car that's doing 200 miles an hour.
Right. So.
And back injury affects everything you do far more than you realize if you've never had one.
Trust me, I've been in physical therapy for over 4 months now with a back injury for physical therapy. So, yeah, I do understand. And I feel for the guy out there, trust me.
Yeah. Another big racing news, Furniture Row, and I get your opinions on this, decided to drop its appeal. Cole Pern, crew chief, was able to compete at Vegas, but will serve the penalty at Phoenix.
How many appeals ever get overturned? You're appealing back to the people that suspended you. You know, it's not going to happen. I mean, it's falling on deaf ears is what it happened.
Yeah. And bottom line is they basically put the wrong part in the car, and they are admitting that. So why go through the appeal?
More than once. I mean, I think that's the thing, is after the first time you learn it. And, I think it's just what you build in the off season to take to these tracks. The first three or four tracks are all going to be kind of the same car, same parts and stuff like that. But it's just amazing to me how you would do that and twice and get in trouble for it. So, all right, we need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about, actually, we're going to have a little green flag, black flag, and also the first of this year, we're going to have the point standings by Mr. Scott Webb. So, popular segment.
Well, I'm not making up the point standings.
No.
I'm just going to
read them off.
Yeah.
But you're going to read them off really good.
Yeah.
And make them sound really good. And we'll have some music.
I'll even use my announcer voice.
That's perfect. All right, you're listening to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3
The Buzz.
MLS 2239. What would you do with all that cash? Listen up, y'all. Ben Phillips here, Home Rate Mortgage, 805-9100. $1,200. That's how much we just put back in a Saudi Daisy family's pocket. per month. All they did was pick up the phone. 805-9100. That's 805-9100. Get that quick quote now. 805-9100. HomeRateMortgage.com.
Y'all step back to 1864 and relive the South's finest hour. Witness a moving performance and dig into the greatest Southern recipes direct from the Confederate White House. Loads of fun food and unfiltered Southern history. The Button Willow Civil War Dinner Theater is just minutes from Chattanooga. Y'all got a call for reservations, 658-7478. We're straightening out Yankees one at a time.
Since 1996, Dale's Heating and Air has been known for our trusted dependability with 24-hour service, trusted integrity to provide the right system at the right price. Trusted technicians who are always background checked, drug tested, and trusted. 100% complete satisfaction. Take advantage of our $50 savings on any service or repair or 60 months special financing. Available now. For service you can trust, just call Dale's. 236-4600 or go to justcalldales.com.
Subject to credit approval. Ask for details.
MLS 2239. Do you want to achieve the American dream in 2016? Listen up, y'all. I'm Ben Phillips with Home Rate Mortgage, 805-9100. We just helped a police officer purchase his first home in East Brainerd. Now he's grilling and chilling on his back deck. The American dream. You could achieve it with no money down options. Why wouldn't you call? 805-9100, HomeRateMortgage.com.
Welcome back to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3 The Buzz. Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Arnold Tarpley, Scott Webb, your usual crew here breaking down. We just got done breaking down the Las Vegas race. Now let's move into Phoenix, or otherwise known as Kevin Harvick Motor Speedway, as he has won there a ton of times. But before we get into that, we're going to go into the most popular segment that we have on The Finish Line Radio, and that is the points standings. Brought to you by Home Rate Mortgage, and it's the one and only Scott Webb.
Thanks, Jamie. It's my pleasure to bring hold on, I'm searching for my announcer voice. Thanks, Jamie. It's exciting to bring you these NASCAR point standings brought to you by Home Rate Mortgage. Kyle Busch leading the way with three top five finishes. He's number one in the point standings. 6 points back is Jimmy Johnson. Kevin Harvick, the prohibited favorite to win this week, except in one person's in particular prediction to win. But we'll get to that in just a few minutes. Joey Logano sitting fourth. Kurt Busch.
Poor Busch.
I'm having trouble pronouncing words today. Are we sure that you want me doing the standings? We need to rethink this.
We need to practice it.
Now and then would probably be good. Kurt Busch is fifth. Brad Keselowski in sixth. Keselowski. You know, the number 19 car of Carl Edwards in 7th. Denny Hamlin hanging on to 8th. Mark Truex Jr. in 9th. And Austin Dillon in 10th. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. in 11th. And Dale Earnhardt Jr. in 12th. And that's your point standings brought to you by Home Rate Mortgage.
Maybe it was the... now I'm getting it. Maybe it was the buildup. I mean, maybe that's what...
There's a lot of pressure and expectation there, and I totally dropped the ball.
You got a lot of expectations to live up to.
Because you did so good last year. I mean...
Yeah, well, this is not last year.
It's a new year.
Start of the new year.
Just call me Matt Kenseth.
So, all right, that's your point standings brought to you by Home Rate Mortgage. All right, guys, we're going to Phoenix. And like you said, everybody picked one certain person who's won there all the time. But the oddball, which usually makes me being the oddball all the time, didn't do that. We'll find out about that in a minute. But guys, with this package, I think it's going to be different. Of course, the it was paved not too long ago. They run a lot. You know, it's amazing to me, and what's interesting when you're watching, it's kind of fun, is a lot of times they don't use the backstretch. They actually go down on the apron, and you've got a bunch of cars down there on the apron. But it seems that a few good drivers here run really well, and then everybody else kind of struggles.
Well, you know, last year we had Alex Hayden on before the Win Phoenix race, and we were asking about Kevin Harvick, and the dude's just good there. I mean, he's just good. What do you say? And he knows it. He knows the track, and he just dominates. He goes out there and dominates his race.
What can you say? Yeah. You said it all right there. He just flat has that track.
And basically everybody else is fighting for second.
Well, is it 4 out of 5 or 5 out of 6?
I want to say it was like 6 out of 7.
Something like that. I mean, the guy is just, he's just hard to beat there. And some, you know, it's just like playing your favorite golf course or certain hitters in certain ballparks. And it just suits the way they drive and or the way they hit or whatever sport there is. And this is just one of those situations where.
I wish I could play like that.
Yeah, He just knows the track and has a comfort level, and that organization has a comfort level, and he's just going to be, you know, unless something screwy happened, he's going to be one of the guys there at the end.
I guess then a question I have is, last year we noticed that, Kevin Harvick won there, and then it seemed like he almost shut it down, you know, for the year after that, until it got to the chase and then kind of had to pick it back up. Slowly got back and got back to where he was in second place.
I mean, the guy had an all-time record in second place finishes last year. He was like 15 last year. I don't know if he shut it down.
He shut it down. He could have won.
He just didn't win a lot. But how many times was he the best car on the track?
But didn't get it finished.
Five of the last seven.
I mean, it's something ridiculous like that. Listen, in racing, that's crazy. It's hard to go 5 for 7 from the free throw line, and you're going 5 for 7 at a racetrack. Come on.
That is big. So do you think that some of these drivers, now that they've won, do you see, because of what they learned over last year and the year before last, that they don't kind of go into test mode once they get this win, they actually keep trying to win?
I think they have to keep trying to win to keep momentum.
Right.
I think they will do some testing. They'll try some different things, but I don't think they'll be nearly as much as Kevin did last year.
Right, and I don't think they'll do – there's points. You know, you get more bonus points in the standings when the chase starts with the more wins you have. So it's not like these dudes. I've never met a race car driver and they ain't trying to win a race. They may try some things differently than they've done in the past, but them dudes show up wanting to win.
And you look at that 18 last year. I mean, he was in desperation mode once he came back from the injury, and was racing hard all year just to get in. And it was eerily similar to me. Is watching the wild card baseball teams, guys. Yeah. I mean, those guys are fighting for their lives to get in. They've got the momentum when they're in, and then here it's on, you know. And same thing I thought happened last year. You know, it wasn't somebody that won Daytona, then shut it down, and then let's practice on this and that, and then just get in and see what we can do. No, it was just fighting for your life the whole time and coming in with momentum.
I think that's what this chase does. It's almost like, and you brought up a great point with the wild card team, it's almost like this is a full baseball season, 180-something games, whatever they have. And, you know, you've got that many games, so you can do some things. If you win a race, you win a race, you win a race, you know, and stuff like that. But the races that you want to win, or the momentum that you want to get, is that last 3 or 4, that Bristol, you know, Richmond, you know, and then before then Michigan and stuff like that. You want to get the wins there. So
you better
get
you the momentum in Chicago. Yeah. That's where you need to. Don't get buried in the hole like the 88
But, I mean, you need to be able to have that momentum going into Chicago in order to have a good run at Chicago, I think that's the thing.
I'm going out on a limb and saying 11 will not have the momentum going into Chicago this year.
11. He's already bold prediction this early in the season. So, all right, getting on to that. Let's go Green Flag, Black Flag, sponsored by College Press. Taking care of your printing needs so you don't have to. Make sure you go to, I lost my website, collegepress.com. Just go to Google. You can find it there. That's the easiest way to do it, right?
Yeah.
So you can get that done. All right.
The quality of this programming today is
so good.
It's second to none.
I mean, you know, pronunciations. It's just one of those things. Green flag, black flag. Get back on topic, Jamie. All right. Regan Smith's been running well in a low-budget team. Do you think he gets a win this year?
Black flag.
Black flag.
That's quick.
Black flag.
No positivity at all. Yeah. All right. Danica Patrick makes the chase.
Quicker black flag.
not as quick as Jason, but black flag.
A little slower.
Is there a color
double
dark?
Black flag?
Yeah, is there a color darker than black? Because no, she's not.
No, there's black flag. No. Take it to the garage, buddy. On that one, you know.
She's not. She's.
That was somebody's driver last year.
Well, and I say that, but you know, she's. I mean, she's super speedway. She has two or three chances a year, and she's usually pretty good on those. But you know, you can't.
Where's she in the points right now?
Probably around 23rd or 25th.
Yeah, let's scroll.
Like
down
two
here.
Spots behind Kenseth, I think.
26th.
Yeah, she's got a ways to go.
I mean, Chase Elliott's wrecked twice, and he's 28th. So that I mean, I'm not taking shots at her like some people in the room will. But
I mean, you think about
that tells you all you need to know.
She's better than 14 other drivers. I mean, right now.
There's the positive.
She's in the top 2/3.
If you're a glass, if you're a glass half full kind of person.
But, I mean, nobody ever talks about those chumps down there. I mean, it's always talking about her. You know what I mean?
That's because she brings attention to herself a lot. So
sponsors, Nature's Bakery.
Yeah. All right, the same vein as that question, Clint Bowyer in the HS Scott Motorsports vehicle. Does he make the chase?
Black flag.
You were going to say that before I finished.
Black flag.
All right.
It's hard to make the chase when you're sitting 32nd in points.
Right,
and we all knew going into this year that this was going to be a transitional year. I mean, there, you know, he just doesn't have the equipment that he's had in the past and. That, but he'll be just fine once he steps into a Stuart Haas race car next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which will be a Ford. Back to that. All right, and then this one should make Jason happy, and I guarantee I'll probably get a green flag out of this one. Dale Earnhardt Jr. will finish higher than any other Hendrick driver in the final point standings.
Black flag.
What?
I can't go against Jimmy Johnson. I mean, Dale Jr. hasn't proven to me in his career that he could finish higher than that. I think Jimmy Johnson is, you know, he's won those championships for a reason, and I think he's just got it.
Has Junior not seemed to have gotten better and better each year? I mean, even though we had Letard and then we had the crew chief change, I think the consistency thing is what I'm looking at. And compared to, we know Johnson's going to go out and win some races. You know, in the chase, does it turn into consistency at that point and Junior finishing higher and higher? Where Jimmy may not get a win.
I mean, Junior's just got to go out there and prove to me. I mean, you don't have to prove anything to me. You know, I'm just sitting at home and watch it, you know. But, I mean, what I'm saying is I need to see a little bit more consistency. You're exactly right. Through pit stops, through pit strategies, all that stuff, you look and you see the Kyle Busch and those guys up there running up front. And it's not a struggle
it's
all day.
It's more the week-to-week consistency you're looking for. There's places, obviously, he's going to be very good at. But it's not finishing eighth. You know, it's not struggling to get your car to eighth. It's struggling they get your car to fourth or fifth. That's what Johnson, they do that more than they do, although I'm not answering the question just yet.
And it's not in self-inflicted stuff. You know, last year we saw some things from Johnson.
So far, not going to find some wood, yeah.
But we see those type of junior moments that he's had over his career that are just boneheaded. It just makes absolutely no sense, whether it be him or a pit crew member with loose lug nuts. How many times we see that last year? You know, if we don't start seeing that trend continue this year, yeah, there's a good chance. But right now I'm going to say no.
Gotcha. Arnold.
When I saw this, I said, I'm going to break the rules again because I wanted to throw a yellow flag on this.
Oh, can't do that.
Oh, here we go.
Do I have to make rules for this, too?
Power ranks.
But the thing of it is, I agree totally what Jason said right here. 88, if he runs consistently, if he does well, he can finish the highest of the Hendrick cars. But beating Jimmy Johnson out for that is going to be really tough. I really lean towards black flag on that. I think Jimmy Johnson will be the leader on that. But Junior could very easily be that. But I'll say this. The leader of the pack in the Hendrick shop will come out of the 4888 garage.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. I'm...
Wait.
I mean, my head is telling me black flag because what we've seen so far this year from Jimmy Johnson is not the 2015 version. It's more like the 2014 version and beyond and back. So we're starting to see a little more normalcy out of that.
I think they're a little ticked off because they got put out of the chase early.
Right.
Last
now,
year
I mean, but you did realize that finishing higher in the standings is a lot. I mean, we saw what happened last year at a track that Johnson has dominated, as much like Harvick has dominated Phoenix, where everybody pulls into Dover and everybody's wondering, well, who's going to finish second this week? Because everybody knows who's going to win first is that 48 car is going to the front. Then they have something fluky happen, and he's not even advancing to the next round. Junior actually advanced further than him last year. So my head's telling me that the black flag, this, the heart says that there's opportunity, but those two cars, we've got to, like Jason said, we want to see more consistency, more speed, more top fives. You know, Junior had a ton of top tens last year.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, only two wins. Can they find a way to win some races where they may not? When they win, they seem to have the best car. What's easy to win? It's easier to win when you have the best car. Do you find a way to win like Johnson did last year, where he wins two races, they led six laps? Do you find a way to win races when you're not the best car? Do you find a way to win Atlanta when Kevin Harvick is clearly the best car and you find a way to win that race? That's what Junior doesn't do, so that's why I'll black flag it. But Arnold Tarpley a little bit.
Uh-oh.
There's always that potential. That's a toughie.
The big thing to tell me whether it's going to be a green flag for Junior is if he starts winning some mile and a halves.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, because there's so many on the circuit out there that you have to be competitive in those things. But, you know, I also look at, you know, when I say black flag on it, I'm sitting here thinking maybe not so much driver to driver, but I look at the one that tips the scale. I'm taking Knaus every day over Greg Gives,
yeah,
and I think that's the kicker for me.
Yeah, and I think we go back to what we talked about last year with how he comes off the truck. He always has to struggle to get up to where he finishes, and I think that's the thing. Until they can get it turned around to where they can be good off the truck, I think you're going to see the same Odell Jr. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk power rankings and who we pick to win at Phoenix. We'll be back in just a second. You're listening to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3
The Buzz.
MLS 2239. What would you do with all that cash? Listen up, y'all. Ben Phillips here. Home Rate Mortgage. 805-9100. $1,200. That's how much we just put back in a Saudi Daisy family's pocket per month. All they did was pick up the phone. 805-9100. That's 805-9100. Get that quick quote now. 805-9100. HomeRateMortgage.com.
Y'all step back to 1864 and relive the South's finest hour. Witness a moving performance and dig into the greatest Southern recipes direct from the Confederate White House. Loads of fun food and unfiltered Southern history. The Button Willow Civil War Dinner Theater is just minutes from Chattanooga. Y'all got a call for reservations, 658-7478. We're straightening out Yankees one at a time.
Since 1996, Dale's Heating and Air has been known for our trusted dependability with 24-hour service, trusted integrity to provide the right system at the right price. Trusted technicians who are always background checked, drug tested, and trusted. 100% complete satisfaction. Take advantage of our $50 savings on any service or repair or 60-month special financing. Available now. For service you can trust, just call Dale's. 236-4600 or go to justcalldales.com.
Subject to credit approval. Ask for details.
MLS 2239. Do you want to achieve the American dream in 2016? Listen up, y'all. I'm Ben Phillips with Home Rate Mortgage, 805-9100. We just helped a police officer purchase his first home in East Brainerd. Now he's grilling and chilling on his back deck. The American dream. You could achieve it with no money down options. Why wouldn't you call? 805-9100, HomeRateMortgage.com.
Welcome back to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3 The Buzz. It's power rankings time. Getting ready for Phoenix coming up. My power rankings, I believe, are pretty stellar this week, as they are each and every week.
I was going to say, what week don't you think your power rankings are stellar?
That's true. So we'll go ahead and get it started because we're running short on time. I've got the 18 of Kyle Busch at the top of the list, the 48, Jimmy Johnson. More news on him just in a second. And then Brad Keselowski, third, I've got Kevin Harvick 4th, Dale Earnhardt Jr. 5th, and my winner, the only one, to pick anything different than the 4 car this week would be me, and I'm picking the 48 of Jimmy Johnson to take the victory out at Phoenix International Speedway. Jason Hildebrand.
Yeah, I'm going with Jimmy Johnson, first in my power rankings. I think he's running solid this year. I'm going Kyle, second spot. Keselowski, third. I'm going Harvick, fourth. And the 88, making a return to my power rankings. It's a little bit difficult to put him in there, to be honest with you, in the fifth position. And I'm going with Mr. Harvick out at Phoenix Raceway.
Why not?
Smart man.
Yeah. I'm going with Kyle Busch, Jimmy Johnson, Kevin Harvick, Brad Keselowski, and Dale Jr. in the fifth place, and the 4 of Harvick to win.
I'm you guys sensing are all a trend
of,
here, yeah.
Yeah, you guys are all a bunch of junior fans.
Yeah, I mean, that's, well, you got a point because of who you got. Let's hear what you got.
My power rankings, I've got Kyle Busch, the only person to have 3 top 5 finishes so far in all 3 races. He's leading my points. Jimmy Johnson, 2nd, Kevin Harvick, 3rd. Brad Keselowski, last week winner, he jumps all the way to 6 in the points. Little surprise, nobody had Kurt Busch in theirs. He's sitting 5th in the points.
Because Regan Smith wasn't driving his car.
and I have Joey Logano 5th. Logano's off to a pretty good start, sitting 4th in the points. He makes my top 5 and my winner. I mean,
you'd be crazy not
yeah,
to.
Yeah, that's crazy talk not to pick. No, I mean, not that I'm saying you're crazy, Jimmy.
That's what I felt like you just said was that
Kevin
I was
Harvick
crazy.
Is 5 out of 7 in racing. Yeah, I'll take that guy.
I was going off the theory that, you know, Jimmy Johnson won the race at Atlanta. He outsmarted him. It's going to be one of those races again where I think it's going to be a pit strategy thing. Just like Jason said earlier, you're going to take Chad Knauss
Listen,
over anybody.
You can only have the best car and not win so often during the season. And Harvick, you know, had the best car in Atlanta. He'll probably have the best car in Phoenix. You know, you're asking a lot for a guy that doesn't have the best car not to win.
But
and
just like every other race, though, you could have a really good car and something happen. And just like Atlanta, where he got outsmarted on pit road, there's a lot of things that can happen. It's not just, you know, that's what makes his record at Phoenix outstanding. And just, you know, something that you don't know that will ever be done is because to go up there and have consistently fast cars and be able to do everything, qualifying, you know, stay out of trouble during the race, make great pit stops, it takes a lot to win a race. So it's going to be difficult for him, I think, to get another win there.
I'm going with him.
You rationalize it however you want to.
71% win rate.
The one driver that you actually looked at in years past that would upset Kevin Harvick was Jeff Gordon. And he's not there.
All right.
So.
But you got the car he owns that is, and that's who's going to win. So we'll see. That'll be on. Yeah. That'll be on. That's a MRN. Jason
didn't just,
like that.
Just throw my
Jason's tearing up studio.
No.
But that'll be on MRN this coming Sunday. Also, they have some Xfinity racing out there, and I think the trucks are out there as well. So,
no trucks. Let me double check. Here's the schedule. Nope, just the Xfinity cars. Looks like the green flag is at 2:30 Eastern on Saturday. Don't forget, set your clocks ahead an hour Saturday
Ooh,
night,
that's right.
And 3:30 Sunday. The Good Sam 500, 312 laps, 312 miles. On the mile, just it's slightly. I can't give you the exact mileage. It's just slightly
is
over a mile.
Is it the Chattanooga Marathon mile? Is that what it is?
Something like that. Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, maybe a quarter short or something like that.
And
so
the race will be on Fox and hopefully on. Talk
and nobody's results count.
Right. Try to qualify for a big.
Hey, marathon. No, I won that. No, it didn't count because it was short. You don't get the chase, buddy.
Quarter short. So it'll be good. All right, Scott, we got Fast Talk coming on.
We
after
got
this.
Fast Talk this week. Doug Rice and co-host Kyle Petty are joined by Daniel Suarez and PRN's Brett McMillan. So they're going to talk about Suarez off to a good start in the Xfinity Series. He's a good young driver.
Start to say, great to see you know with NASCAR's diversity program to bring him in like that, and for him to be able to do so well. So and he's in good stuff. So, but I think that's great. Short guy. I mean, that guy, I mean, he's almost as tall as Arnold.
Gee, thanks.
So, but good guy, too, and great to hear on the radio. It's kind of fun. So, guys, It's been fun, and we'll be back next week to break down the race at Phoenix, where Jimmy Johnson will take the victory, and we'll talk about that, I'm sure, a bunch. And make sure you go to our Twitter page. Scott, Twitter.
Finish Line Radio, at The Finish Line Radio, at Finish Line Radio is our Twitter. The website is thefinishlineradio.com. Full show will be up a little bit later this evening, so if you missed it, you can always go back and listen to our full shows on the website.
Please tell a friend to tune in if they want NASCAR on Wednesday nights. They've got it here, right here on The Buzz. You're listening to another edition of The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3
The Buzz.